Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city at last.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and we're also heard on Christian Sentinel Radio, which is on Blog Talk Radio, and it's the network of our sister Jackie Alnor, and she'll be with us next week. We're going to talk about some of this, the wacky women of Charismania. So that'll be our topic next week. Just when I think, now, what am I going to talk about today? And I start looking at some YouTube videos, and then I start seeing some people that I never heard of. I never heard of Doug Addison, the tattoo prophet, who we're going to talk about today, and this Kevin Zadai. This man is very scary, I must say. It upset me deeply to even listen to horrible audios from this man. And the deception. We are in big trouble. But those of us who know the Lord Jesus, and we know what the truth is, and we're not going to compromise the truth no matter what, we have to just shout it from the housetops about the error and the blatant blasphemy that's coming out of the mouths of these people today. It's, like I said, I think, what can I talk about? What can I actually add to the content of this program? And then I find you could probably talk forever about some of the heresy and the downright disrespect for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his church that we're seeing today. But you kind of see how these people are grouped together. And you can really see the separation between the true church and then the harlot church. You're seeing the great divide even more, and people chasing after the supernatural. Well, there is a supernatural, but I don't want their supernatural, that's for sure. And my thing is this: if people have visions and they talk about Jesus appearing to them, which I don't believe for 1 minute, he's not coming back to earth anytime soon that I know of. I don't know when he's coming, but he said he's coming again. But he's certainly not coming down and visiting these false prophets and these heretics, that's for sure. But if they have to go on YouTube and they have to go on television and they have to brag about God giving them these visions and Jesus talking to them, something's wrong with that, because don't try to draw attention to yourself. And that's the biggest thing, is the pride and the arrogance that's being displayed here by these people, because they brag that about Jesus appearing to them and the things the Lord shows them. Well, he's given us his word. Didn't he give us his word? So I find what I need in God's word. And I don't need Jesus to be appearing to me to tell me extra things. And the things that these people talk about, it's not even biblical what they're talking about. Terrible. terrible. So we're going to talk about that today. And I just wanted to mention a couple of things that are in the news. Oh, dear. So we have the President of the United States yesterday falling down, going upstairs, and falls three times going upstairs, and he's hanging on for dear life. And I'm thinking to myself, now, I'm no fan of Joe Biden, not at all. But I'm thinking to myself, here's the President of the United States, and he's getting ready to take a hard fall, maybe, that could hurt him. And there's nobody there to help him. There's no Secret Service. Nobody's running to his aid. So that's very curious. That's very, very curious. And then after he's wobbly and dizzy and everything, he goes up to the top of the airplane, and he doesn't hold on to the bar there. There's a bar that he could have grabbed onto. No, he has to stand right in the middle, and I'm thinking to myself, he's going to fall head first. He's going to fall head first. And he stands there, and then he salutes. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. If it was me and I fell like that, I certainly wouldn't stand without assistance up on top of a staircase. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. So it was one of the craziest things I think I've ever seen. And of course, it's been seen around the world. And I guess most of the news media was trying to not make much of it, but you have to make much of it. You have to make much of it because this is the man that's supposed to be running the country, which I doubt seriously he's running the country. Not in the state he's in. We're in bad. We are in bad shape. And they have all these people coming in illegally. Now, they signed this so-called COVID relief package, and it's $1.9 trillion, right? So there was a news report that all these people that are coming in, and they can't fill them or take them in. They can't do the intake anyway from Texas and California, wherever they're coming in by the thousands. And so they're going to, the idea is to put them on airplanes and fly them to Canada. So I'm thinking to myself, like, where are they getting this money from? do you know any American citizens that get flown around except prisoners, like when they're going from prison to prison on the government's dime? No, but illegals, yeah, we'll fly them around. And so part of this package, this COVID relief bill, was over $500 million that was designated to help these people when they come into the country. Well, I'm thinking to myself, well, why don't you just take that money so they could stay in their own country? Because most people really don't want to leave their country. I don't want to leave my country. I like living here. I don't want to leave and have to go someplace else to earn a living. And another thing, who leaves their kids? I don't care how poor you are. Children want to be with their parents. When you're a kid, you don't know if you're rich or poor. You don't know, really. And so you've got all these children coming in without parents. Who does that? Why is the government even allowing that? It's really cruel to do that, to send children, although some of them aren't children. Some of them are teenagers and probably not even teenagers, probably older than that. But what is going on? It's total insanity. It's total insanity. And anyway, they want to penalize property owners because property owners have a school tax that they have to pay, which is probably 3/4 of your property taxes go for schools, and you probably don't have anybody in school. I don't have anybody in school, so why should I have to pay for somebody else's kid to go to school? I think it's unconstitutional, really, because I think that if you have a kid in school, you should pay for your kid to go to school. I shouldn't have to pay. So I think we should do something about that. Who's going to pay for all this stuff? It's going to be the property owners. It's going to be the average citizen that has to pay more for gasoline. You have to pay gas tax, which already the price of gas is going up. And it's not just because the price of gas is going up. It's because they have to put their taxes in there. And it's a tax that they don't want you to know about. But it's really a tax every time gas goes up. Remember, when I was growing up, gas was 25 cents a gallon. 25 cents a gallon, and that was in the 50s. And so why? Why is gasoline so expensive? It's because of the taxes. So little by little, you'll see the taxes start going up. And we're going to have to pay for this mess that they're making. But this is the world that we're living in today. And God help us if the Lord doesn't come and rescue us from all of it. You know, we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And there was another story. I saw this lady on Fox News this week, a lady from Michigan, a restaurant owner who was keeping her restaurant open. She's a Polish immigrant. She's 55 years old. And she was just trying to earn a living. And of course, they have these draconian lockdowns there in Michigan, but they don't mind releasing thousands of people into this country that haven't been tested for the virus. That's okay. So we see lawlessness abounds. And anyway, they arrested this lady and they took her away in shackles. A big criminal. And they closed down her restaurant. And she has to pay a big fine, dear. Anyway, I think they, hopefully they started some kind of a fundraiser for her. I hope they did, to try to get her out of jail. Her name is Marlena Pavlos Hackney. But we're going to see crazy stuff like this happen. Criminals don't get arrested, but somebody like her that's just trying to earn a living by serving food gets arrested. Figure that one out. But there was a young lady the other day that, and this is a great idea for a ministry, for somebody that wants to start a ministry, is she decided that she was going to pay restaurants to cook food, and then people could go pick up the food. People that needed food could pick up dinners or whatever, and they wouldn't have to pay. This, and she would raise the money through donations to pay the restaurants to cook, and then people could come and get free food, which is a great idea. It's a great idea because it helps the restaurants to stay in business, and it feeds people. I just thought that was an excellent idea for a ministry. So the last story I wanted to talk about here was a father who, he did get arrested. The father that didn't use the correct pronoun. The father who objected to his little girl being given testosterone to become a boy. So they were threatening to arrest him if he insisted on calling his daughter a she. And if he didn't call his daughter a he, they threatened to arrest him. And so they did arrest him. They did arrest him. Dear Lord. Anyway, I'm going to try to pull up this audio here. And let me know if you can still hear me, because I see that my direct connect went off. And I don't see the stream. I'm going to try to pull up this audio about the father. Nothing is happening. Okay. Somebody in the chat room, let me know if you can hear me, because I don't see my countdown clock working, and I can't get my, here we go. It's back. Okay, Addison. All right, we're going to pull up this audio of the father that didn't use the correct pronoun. Can you imagine? This is the crazy world we're living in. He didn't use the correct pronoun for his daughter, and who now wants to be a boy. And what do you know when you're 13 or 14 years old? You don't know too much. So, and here you have a father that can't even have authority over his own child. It's a judge. A judge is going to make the decision for your 13 or 14-year-old person, daughter, who thinks she's a boy. What do you know when you're 14? You don't know too much. Here, I'm going to play this audio for you.
Here I am sitting there as a parent watching a perfectly healthy child be destroyed. And there's nothing I can do but sit on the sideline and, according to Justice Bowden at the time, cheer it on. I could only affirm or get thrown in jail.
For the past 11 months, Canadian father Robert Hoogland's now 15-year-old daughter has been receiving testosterone injections by court order. The process began in late February of last year when Justice Bowden of the British Columbia Supreme Court ruled that the then 14-year-old girl should be medically transitioned to a boy regardless of the wishes of either of her parents. While the girl's mother was willing to cooperate, her father was distraught.
This will not change her DNA. She will not become a boy. It can lead to increased heart disease and other risks of that nature, different types of cancers. Because they're going to be stopping her puberty, her bone density will stop right where it is. And I kept saying, no, this is not going to happen. I'm not consenting.
According to the courts, however, Rob's consent wasn't relevant. In fact, Justice Bowden went one step further, declaring that Rob and his wife had to affirm their daughter's new gender identity. Rob was told that if he tried to dissuade his daughter or referred to her as a girl, he would be considered guilty of family violence. The night of the ruling, Rob granted an interview to the Federalist, lamenting the state-sponsored transition of his mentally vulnerable daughter. He also pointed out that his daughter was biologically a girl and would simply have her health impaired by high-dosage testosterone. The interview infuriated the BC Supreme Court. A few weeks later, Justice Francesca Mazzari convicted Rob of family violence for using female pronouns. To make sure Rob didn't refer to his daughter as a girl again, Mazzari signed a protection order authorizing the police to immediately arrest Rob without warrant if he was caught referring to his daughter as a girl or with female pronouns.
And even in the Mazzari ruling, I mean, it said that I could only think thoughts that were contrary to what the Bowden ruling was. The court was gracious enough to say that they could not police my thoughts, essentially, but everything else they could.
Rob kept quiet through the long months of 2019, hoping to get his daughter off testosterone in the Court of Appeal. But in January of this year, the highest court in British Columbia declared that Rob's daughter should continue taking testosterone. It also placed a conduct order on Rob, demanding that he continue to acknowledge and refer to his daughter as male and employ male pronouns.
they've now created a delusion, and then they're forcing parents like myself to have to live in this delusion. And then what happens when the bubble explodes and the delusion ends? She can never go back to being a girl. I mean, she'll always be a girl, but she can never go back to being a girl in a healthy body that she should have had. Right? She's going to forever have a lower voice. She'll forever have to shave because of facial hair. She won't be able to have children. She won't have a family. These kids don't even understand what this stuff means. What kid who's 13 is thinking about a family and having children? Not many.
Desperate to get his story heard, Rob gave several interviews to Canadian commentators and reporters. The interviews he gave were quickly suppressed in Canada, and Rob was threatened again with severe consequences for speaking out. But Rob felt that he could not remain silent.
You know, what kind of father would I be if, let's say, in 5-10 years, my daughter is detransitioning, and she turns to me and says, you know, Dad or Mom, like, why did none of you do anything to stop this? I was a child. Like, none of you stuck your neck out for me back then. You just let me do it because I was an immature kid thinking this was something great. Where were you on that one? When my daughter asked me that question, I'll say, you know, I did everything that I possibly could. There was nothing more I could do. And then when there was nothing more I could do, I continued on because I didn't want other parents to go through what I went through.
Did we ever think that we were going to be hearing anything like this? But a father has been arrested because he called his little girl she instead of he for family violence. I can't believe it. I think myself, eventually in this country, if we call something a sin, they'll probably try to arrest us and say that you can't call anything a sin. Dear Lord, we need to pray for this man. This is horrible, horrible that you have no control over your own children. It must be so hard to grow up in this world. Dear Lord, help us. Let's listen to the scripture first, and then I'm going to talk about these evil, and they are evil, evil people talking about time travel and tattoo prophets and dream interpretations and Jesus trying to find himself. That was the most shocking one that I heard today, and it actually really brought me to tears to think that anybody would put this garbage out and it would be broadcast on national television by a fool like Sid Roth. Let's listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Chapter 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand.
Amen. Amen. They preached you another Jesus and another gospel. And that's what we have to be so aware of in the days that we're living in. And we need to know the word of God and stay in the word of God, because it's a very, very deceitful time. And there is a great falling away. And there's people that they're chasing after these false prophets and these false teachers. It's just awful. Awful. I never heard such horrible blasphemy like I heard today. And I'm going to play some of these audios for you in a minute, but I wanted to first play this audio of this Chris Mathis. He's a pastor. I never heard of him, but I was going through YouTube and I happened to see one of the brothers on YouTube that made a video about this. And it just goes to show you how these so-called churches operate. And this church has been around for a long time, and they've got those tithes and offerings coming in over there. And so, anyway, this Chris Mathis, he of course, he wants to take up a birthday offering for his wife. I'm like, could you take care of your own wife, please? Like, why are you asking the church folk to take care of your wife's birthday? I didn't know that there was their that was their responsibility to take care of your wife's birthday presents. Please. And not only that, they're probably both making, him and his wife are probably both making, I would say, and I haven't seen their financial statement, but I would say they're probably both making over $100,000 a year. And that's probably a low figure. Plus, they're getting their housing allowance, their car allowance, and they're, when they go out to eat, probably getting their food allowance. They're getting all kinds of bonuses there. And then he has the nerve to take up a birthday offering for his wife. And the reason he's taking up the offering, he says, is because she deserves to go out clothes shopping and she deserves to have a manicure and a pedicure. Can you please buy your own wife's clothes? And could you please pay for your own wife's pedicure and manicure? Like, I'm going to church to hear the word. I don't care about your wife's pedicure. Oh, this is insane. Anyway, here you go.
I planned on doing something before I preached to honor someone very special. I believe in honor. I believe in double honor. And this individual gets very bashful when I do this for them because it's my wife. And it's her week this week. And I was praying for her this week, and this is a scripture that I shared with her earlier, and I, those of you that don't know her really like I do, I know you get to see Pastor Nikki, the worship leader Nikki, you know, the mother of the house, you know.
The mother
you
of
get
the
to
house.
See the preaching gift. The,
She's
the
not my mother.
Of worship every week in the presence of God. And so oftentimes you can look at someone that's so powerful like she walk in a great level of confidence, but that scripture came to mind about Nikki this week where it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. She has molded that scripture. And so if you guys can, during this moment, just help me honor your pastor with love. We're gonna let her see this birthday video this morning from friends and family around the world. Now, you're thankful for her. You know, you can tell the caliber of a leader by the other leaders that surround that leader. And I just think of what Pastor Nikki has built over, but also in Florida, Alabama, all over the Southeast, Brazil. She's developed an amazing worship community there that she pours into. And we're blessed that we get to have her right here in Edmonton, Alberta. You know, this is something we've never done for Pastor Nikki. He told me you need to do this for
Pastor
your wife.
Nikki.
It was a mandate from God. I really felt like this was from God. And I was thinking, we've never done this in 12 years. Of pastoring together. We've never taken up a special love offering for Pastor Nikki ever. We've done it for a lot of people, a lot of staff members, a lot of friends, a lot of guests that come in, a lot of people in our congregation at times that have needed help, and we've given a lot of money away. We even received a paycheck. Back then we weren't giving away $322,000 back then. Lucky if we got in that much for the year just to pay the bills. But this year we're going to do that. I felt like it's from God. And if she's blessed your life, I want to ask you that you help me do that. This is 100% to her. You can make your checks or give to the summit. Just make sure it says love offering on there. If you do that on the app or if you text to give. And again, this is not for anything crazy, spiritual, feeding the nation. This is for mama to go buy some clothes if she wants to. Because it's her birthday. Is that okay? That okay? Hey, that's her birthday. That's right. I think, you know what? And that's spiritual too. When you bless someone and you bless someone that has labored and poured out, and I know when she goes to get them nails and feet done and new garments, she'll lead worship probably a little bit better next week. Now, if you don't give, she might not. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Yes, she will. You can do that at any time throughout the service. Let's jump into the
Can you imagine? Please, if I was sitting in that congregation, I would have stood up and said, could you please take care of your own wife? What are you asking me for? Why don't you buy me some clothes on my birthday? When was the last time you gave me clothes on my birthday? Just stop this nonsense. These people, help me, Lord. I could see if they didn't have any money or they weren't taking in any money over there, but they're taking in big bucks over there at this church, the Summit, and supposedly this guy helped start. I know there's some of these Summit churches here in the United States. And the nerve of this guy, Chris Matthews, noticed that. I think his wife, Nikki, I think she looks maybe to be in her 30s, maybe early 40s. I'm a 72-year-old woman. I'm going to go to that church and I'm going to call her mother. Stop. Please. She's not my mother. And she's not the mother of the church. She's Nikki, just like everybody else. She's Nikki, just like everybody. And that doesn't make her special because she's reading the Bible over there. And I can't believe that people put up with this stuff. I really can't believe it. That people actually, did you hear the people applauding? They were happy about it. Oh, yeah, Pastor Nikki. Have to make sure she gets some clothes and she gets a, how much does a manicure and a pedicure cost? Oh, thousands of dollars? I guarantee you she probably got tens of thousands of dollars for this birthday offering, because I happen to see Paula White's financial documents, and they were made public by the court there in Orlando, Florida. And so they are available to the public. And I happen to see that one of Paula's pastor appreciation days, and she makes over $1 million a year from her so-called ministry. And when they had pastor appreciation day there, she got over $60,000 just on that day for her greedy self. And so they never have enough, these people. They never have enough. Look, if you're in a church like that, you need to get up and leave the place and don't go back. They have some nerve when people are hurting, and there's probably people that are hurting in that church, and he has the nerve to take up a birthday offering. And then the guy that put the brother that put the video up on YouTube, he gets a letter from this joker, this Chris Mathis, saying that they were considering suing him for bringing this to the attention of the public. Well, you put it out there on the internet, your church service, where you were doing this. So why are you going to sue somebody because they're merely repeating your words? Maybe you should examine yourself and find out if you're even in the faith over there, because I don't think so. What is the church, your bank? The church is your bank where you just go in and you withdraw money whenever you need it and for whatever you want, like new clothes and a pedicure and a manicure. I was like, this guy is really in the Twilight Zone. Yeah, he is in the Twilight Zone over there. But he's not alone. You know, he's not alone. He is not alone. Now, this audio that I'm going to play here is so shocking. I know it's very, very shocking. And I couldn't believe I was hearing this myself from this Kevin Zadai, which I never heard of until today when I happened to do some cross-referencing between him and this Doug Addison. And I saw, and I was doing, trying to get into this time travel, see who was doing this time traveling where they're going back in time and Jesus is recreating events so he can change the way the thing happened in the past. It's so insane. You can't change the past. There's nothing you can do about it. And you can't go back in time and change the past. Yeah, I'm sure some of us would love to do that, but it can't happen. But anyway, this is so shocking right here with this Kevin's a die, and he says that Jesus Christ himself was trying to find himself. Here you go.
Hi, I'm Kevin Zeta, and welcome to this secret place where all your prayers are going to be answered. And we're going to continue like we did with the last session on my visitation that happened in 1992. I'm really excited to get into this. And just remember, you will receive an impartation as I share this with you, because Jesus really literally told me that when I share this, you're going to have a visitation. He told me that when I share this with you, there'll be an impartation from heaven. So just receive right now. And we're going to get right back into what Jesus was saying. If you remember, he left me in the operating room, and he was talking about the healing of the soul, and then he was talking to me about praying in tongues, and we're going to pick up right there. And I just want to reiterate that praying in tongues was the number one thing that you could do supernaturally to walk on this earth. We don't even know what we should pray for or how we should pray, but the Spirit will help us. It will take hold of us in our weakness and help us to pray out the mysteries of God. So that's what we're doing when we're praying in the Spirit. And I just wanted to reiterate that, because Jesus spent more time on this single one thing than anything else in the 45 minutes that he spent with me. And so I want to get into what he came to me next about. He just kept teaching me subject after subject, and this thing is going to change your life. He said, you know, abuse it. He said, it's different when you do it in my name, because you still get a reward for it. It releases you from the responsibility of financially when you give to someone or something. It doesn't matter what they do with the money. If you give it in Jesus' name, you're doing it unto him, and so your reward is sealed because of that. Now, he said, if you do something in faith, it's because faith rises up in your heart and God speaks to your heart and you do it out of that, then you're doing it in faith, and there's a reward for that too as well. So he said we should always give, we should always act on what the Lord tells us to do. But if you can't have faith for what you're doing, he said you can always do an act of kindness in my name. Isn't that good? So like, even if you give a cup of water, it doesn't go unnoticed in heaven, because these angels record it down. So he wanted me to know that I do make a difference, and that he said, listen to this. He said, when I have you at your job, he said, you are making a difference because you're there. Not just because of what you do, but he said, you're actually holding back forces that are working against people. But when you're there, they cannot act. And I didn't even see that. But he said, you know, warfare sometimes is just you going to work, that you're stopping the enemy from working just because you spoil the party wherever you go. And Jesus said, you know, he said, you can spoil the party of the devil by just showing up to work. He said, when you go places, he said, demons are paralyzed. And so my word to you from the Lord is that you do make a difference. And it's just not what you do sometimes, it's who you are. And the Lord showed me that you can arrest the enemy just by showing up, because of what you walk in. So that was another thing that he taught me, and I want to get into the rest of it. He also started to talk to me about a subject that's somewhat controversial, but to me, I saw it clearly in the Scripture. He said, Kevin, he said, when I was on the earth, I would look for myself in the Word of God. He said, the Father had strategically planted different places in the Bible that talked about me. And so he said, before I even came to the earth, we had strategically caused the Holy Spirit to have men write in the Scripture. So he said, for example, he said, the Spirit came on King David and he wrote Psalms 16. And he said, when I was on the earth, I memorized that Psalm. He said, because this is what happened. He said, I actually went to hell. I was in the belly of the earth. And he said, in the belly of the earth, I rehearsed Psalm 16. Isn't that amazing? So he said his whole teenage life, he spent reviewing and looking throughout the whole Word of God in the Old Testament to find himself.
Now, I could not believe what I was hearing. I could not believe it. Jesus was trying to find himself. He had to memorize the psalm. Gosh, who would believe a word that comes out of this man's mouth? Jesus was the Word in the flesh. You think he didn't know the Word? Oh, anyway, here's part two of this insanity.
And he said, I had all these key verses that were coaching me into what I was supposed to be doing and who I was. And so Psalm 16, he said, was used when he was in the belly of the earth. And so he started to talk to me. He said, most people think about the suffering that I did before I died on the cross, the beatings, the imprisonments. But he said, it went far beyond that. It went far beyond the cross. It went far beyond that, Kevin. He said, I spent those days in the belly of the earth alone without God. And it shocked me at first because I never thought that. He said, I relinquished my communication with the Father for those days. He said, the only thing that I had was those psalms that I had memorized. And he said, I rehearsed those and I kept telling myself that there was coming that point if I set the Lord always before me. And because he was at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And it talked about how he would be brought out, that he would not allow his body to see decay. His soul would not be left in hell. And he told me, he said, I rehearsed those things. He said, those demons were telling me that I had failed, that I had been left alone, and my mission was a failure. He told me, Satan told me, he said, you should have taken the deal I gave you in the desert where I offered you all the kingdoms of the world. He said, you could have had them if you bowed down to me, but look at you now. You've lost everything. He said, I just kept rehearsing the word of God. And so he explained this to me, and as he was telling me this, he started to sob, and it touched me. He said, I cleared out a space in your own soul, Kevin, when I did this, because when you pray from the depths. So he said, I have made a place in prayer for you because I prayed this space out when I was in hell. He said, when I prayed, he said, I made it possible for anybody in any situation, no matter how hard-pressed they feel, they could access this place in prayer that I prayed from the depths. He said, I prayed and I saw God deliver me. And he said, anyone who prays, they'll feel this depth come in their spirit when they pray a heartfelt prayer. He said, that's the space I cleared in the spirit for them. He said, because I went through much more than any person will ever have to go through. He said, I redeemed everyone. He said, no one has to go to hell. He said, anyone that's in hell shouldn't be there because they didn't need to go. I redeemed them from that. And so that was the only time that I saw Jesus get emotional to the place where he cried, because he felt the pain and he was reminded of what he went through for us. Most people don't know this and it's not taught, but he did have to sit down there. He said, I had no way of resurrecting myself because I'd given my authority and all my communication away when I went to the cross. He said, the Holy Spirit was going to resurrect me at the proper time, and I was waiting for that. Isn't that amazing? So just remember that when you pray, Jesus said he already has cleared a way for you out of any situation that you go through. And also, he went on to say some things about the timing of where we're at in the end times. He actually said, Kevin, the next thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that people aren't discerning where they are in the scenario. And he talked to me about the...
I know you can't believe it. That is some of the worst blasphemy I think I've ever heard. I couldn't believe it. And this guy, Kevin Zadai, of course, like I said, he's been on national television, so-called Christian television. And he had, I think, on some of these videos, he has over 200,000 views. Could you imagine talking about the Lord Jesus Christ like this? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But he's not alone, because he's got a whole band of merrymakers, troublemakers, really. And it's this group, Todd Bentley and Patricia King and Sid Roth, Bill Johnson. And so you're known by the people that you associate with. So you can see these associations, and more people really do need to speak out about this, because they have big followings. They have big followings, and you have to really feel sorry for people that are supporting these people financially. But get away from this man. If you're following this man, Kevin Zadai, run for your life from him. Here's another audio from him.
My guest, Kevin Zadai, had the most, he provokes me to jealousy all the time, but this really does. He just had a five-hour visitation from Jesus, where Jesus taught him revelation after revelation after revelation from the Bible. He showed him what is going on in earth right now. He got a peek into the second heaven. What I mean by the second heaven, the first heaven is earth where we live. Second heaven is where the devil and his demons live. And the third heaven is where God and the angels live. And in fact, I believe, Kevin, that a lot of prophets miss God because they literally hear something, but they don't distinguish whether they're hearing it from the second heaven. They're hearing something, or the third heaven, and they get faked out.
That's true, Sid, and Jesus warned me about this, and so he gave me instruction about that too, as far as the ministry of the prophet, and that we're not supposed to speak out of our imagination. We're supposed to speak from the fire that's in the altar of God. We're supposed to speak fire, and we're supposed to speak truth.
Yeah. You hear that goofy Sid Roth. He has every quack there is on his program. No discernment whatsoever. No discernment. Here's another wacky audio from this Kevin Zadai.
Authority. So imagine this. I'm standing there, and he said, for instance, Kevin, your spirit has developed to the place where within 30 feet of you, and I saw this, he let me see the realm of authority that was around me, and my spirit was actually out 30 feet, and it affected everything within 30 feet. He said, now when demons get within 30 feet of you, they feel your authority. He said, so people, when they get within 30 feet of you, they feel the authority you're walking in. He said, however, he said, there are men and women on the earth, and he showed me these people, and I knew them by name, and he showed me the city that they entered into. He said, for instance, he said, I have apostles that are on the earth, that their authority has extended out so far that when they go into a city, the whole city comes under their authority. And I saw demons actually checking out of the city as fast as they could, knowing that this person was coming to town to preach that weekend. And so there were demons that didn't even wait for this person who was an apostle, a known apostle. They were already vacating the city until he left. They weren't going to even stay there to endure the fight because they were going to lose. They were going to be driven out. And so they just left voluntarily. He said, Kevin, you can yield to my spirit to the point where you walk in that kind of authority. And so that should be our goal, is to allow the Spirit of God to train us. And so Jesus was showing, this is your goal, is that if you submit to my yoke and you learn of me, I'm going to teach you how to walk like I did on the earth. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus was right within 3 feet of me. He's showing me all this stuff. And he's wanting me to tell you this right now, is that you can walk in the same authority. You just have to allow the Spirit of God to develop you and get you into that. And so the next thing he talked to me about was the secret of weakness. And I'm just going to quickly go through this, even though it's very important. But the secret of weakness was this. He said, Paul knew where he ended and where I began. So he said, Kevin, the whole goal of your life is to find where that line is, where you end and I begin. He said, your next step, when you end, when your weakness can't take you any further, he says, my power will come upon you and want to find out where this line is. But he said, you should find out where this line is as soon as you can. He said, Paul, he was excited when he knew his weakness because his weakness revealed God's power. Paul learned where he ended and where I began in his life. And so that's the word for you. Jesus is saying, find out where you end and where I begin and do it quickly. We can't go any further. God comes in and says, well, I'll take it from here. And that's the way Jesus was with me. He said, you have to live beyond the natural. He said, and the way you do that is you just yield to the Spirit, and you learn to be like a sailboat. He said, just set your sails and let me blow through them. He said, Kevin, you should develop a way of life to where your next breath is actually coming from my exhale. So Jesus said, when I exhale, you inhale. He says, my exhale is your inhale. He said, you breathe in my breath, and you will continue to live, even though you feel like you can't go on. He said, in any situation, everybody that does this will learn to live in power. And so Jesus was continued to teach me, and this is what he did. He said, listen, he said, you died today. He said, but he said, I want to ask you if you'll go back for me. He said, you have done everything I've ever asked you to do. He said, you've been faithful, and you've been a faithful person to me. And he said, they talk about you in heaven. He said, they talk about your faithfulness. And I was shocked because I was only 31 years old. He said, everything I've ever asked you to do, you just dropped what you were doing at the time, and you went and did it. You've never questioned me. And he said, because of that, you have a very, very big following in heaven. Because of that characteristic. And it just really shocked me, to tell you the truth. He said, however, he said, I can send you back and I can help you with this to the point where you wouldn't fail. He said, would you go back if you couldn't fail? And I thought about it. I said, I can't fail. He says, no, you can't lose. You can't fail. And he said, it's all extra credit. I'll give you credit extra. Because you already finished your race, but I'll send you back, and this is all extra credit. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, see these people? And all of a sudden, when he did that, he showed me about 15 people. Now, note that I met all 15 of those people within the next several years. I knew their names. I knew exactly what I was going to say to them prematurely, before I even met them. The Lord said, I'm sending you back for these and others. But he said, how it's going to be is when you go back to your body, he said, I'm going to send these people to you. And when they come before you, I will come and stand on your right side. And he said, when I stand on your right side, you'll feel me, and then you'll hear me whisper in your right ear. Now, can you imagine this? This happens all the time with me. It's just happened recently to me. He still brings people to me. But he said, you'll feel my presence. You'll hear me whisper in your ear. And he said, just repeat word for word what I say. And those people will be rerouted in their life.
Yeah, they'll be rerouted, all right. They'll be rerouted if they listen to you. Because I have news for you. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ whispering in your ear. But it's another Jesus and another gospel. This guy is weird.
Authority. So imagine this. I'm standing.
Weird. Kevin Zadai. Stay away from him. Far away. I mean, run for your life. Far away as you can. And don't look back. Don't look back. Here's some information about what they say about Jesus was a time traveler. I know you didn't know that. I didn't know that either until I heard this
says
today.
Jesus is the original time traveler. Time travel is real, and he has proof.
Share about, you know, when God took me back in time, because I had remorse about raising my children, because yeah. I wasn't a Christian when I first had the children, and I had remorse. And the Lord said, well, why are you going through this? I'm going to take you back, and we're going to recreate the whole scenario.
Wow.
And so instead of even making those mistakes, they're going to be forgiven.
Wow.
But they're also going to be healed, and
wow.
you can recreate it. And
okay.
God actually did that. It was so powerful,
yeah.
and, of course, saw the results that followed. But right now, we want to show you a testimony from Matt Sorger, who is also a great friend of ours, a powerful man of God, a revivalist who lives in the realm of the supernatural. But he had an amazing encounter being taken back into time. In fact, he received an anointing while he was back there that he's operating in to this very day. So we'll be back in just a moment after this video.
Hi, this is Matt Sorger, and I remember a time that I was in this large auditorium worshiping God. It was a packed out house, and the presence of God was so strong. And during this time of worship, I was caught up in the Spirit, and it was as if I traveled back in time. Suddenly, the whole setting changed, and I was in an auditorium, but it was an older auditorium. And I remember seeing this woman up on the platform, and she was walking across the platform, and she was saying how much she loves the Holy Spirit. And she was saying it over and over again, I love the Holy Spirit. And then suddenly, as I was watching this scene in front of me, I recognized the woman to be Catherine Kuhlman. And it was as if the Holy Spirit caught me up and brought me back in time to one of Catherine Kuhlman's meetings. And then as I saw her worshiping and saw her ministering, suddenly she came up right in front of me, and she looked me right in the eyes. And she says, if you love the Holy Spirit the way that I love the Holy Spirit, you can have what I have. And after she spoke that to me, the whole scene changed, and I was brought out of this visionary encounter, and I was back in the auditorium that I started in, and there we were worshiping God and, again, caught up in his presence. And it was amazing how the Holy Spirit caught me up into this encounter, and it radically impacted my life. As God used the vision even of Catherine Kuhlman and what she represents about intimacy with the Holy Spirit and life in the Holy Spirit, it set a plumb line in my own heart and spirit and ministry that everything of God's power and everything of miracles and healings and signs and wonders flows out of that place of deep intimacy and connection with the person of the Holy Spirit. So I pray today that this encounter encourages you in your faith in the things of God.
I don't think so. No, I don't want to see dead people talking to me. No, I don't want to go back in time and see Catherine Kuhlman talking to me. I don't think we're supposed to be communicating with the dead. What else? It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I've heard some crazy stuff in my lifetime. Now here, this is totally insane because this Doug Addison, I never heard of him until yesterday. Like I said, when I was looking on YouTube and I happened to see a video about this tattoo prophet, and I'm saying, tattoo prophet, what is that? Anyway, here's an introduction to the tattoo prophet. I know you're not going to believe it either.
After years of on-the-street experience with interpreting dreams, Doug discovered that quite often body art has a deeper meaning. Who would have thought that tattoos and piercings could have hidden prophetic messages from God? You'll discover Doug's secrets to interpreting body art. You'll also discover the most popular tattoos and their meanings, significance of their placement, how to recognize hidden metaphoric messages, and a ton more. You'll get everything you need to get started. It is absolutely amazing, and thousands of people have taken the online training already. You can take it right now online. Just go to DougAddison.com to find out more.
Yeah, I know. That's the school we all want to attend, is how to interpret tattoos, since the Bible says we're not even supposed to get tattoos. Now, this guy, he's got a school where he can teach you how to interpret the meaning of somebody's tattoo. Yeah, and this guy is all over the place too, even appearing on CBN, one of the CBN, Pat Robertson. He wasn't with Pat Robertson, but he was on one of the CBN programs with some nutty news broadcaster, and she was praising him and promoting him. Yeah, the tattoo prophet. Here you go. Here's him talking about his school that you could sign up for.
Hi, my name is Doug Addison. I'm really excited to introduce to you my latest online training website, Prophetic Tattoo and Piercing Interpretation. Very similar to dream interpretation, in which we use the prophetic gift to help people see how God might be speaking to them through their body art. In case you don't know me, I'm an expert in the area of dream interpretation. I've interpreted well over 25,000 dreams. I've been an outside-the-box prophetic minister for over 20 years, also an outreach specialist. You know, I've trained thousands of dream and prophetic teams that go all over the world sharing God's love in some of the most unusual places. And I've noticed this, is that people everywhere have tattoos. Did you know that over 1 billion people on earth have tattoos or piercings? I was on an outreach over 8 years ago, and I did my first tattoo interpretation. And boy, it was an amazing response. And since then, I've studied it thoroughly. I've also interpreted thousands of tattoos, and I've trained hundreds of people to do it. And I know this might sound controversial to some people, but yet some others are saying, wow, it's about time someone did this, right?
Yeah.
I'm not encouraging people to get tattoos, especially with this training. But what I want to offer is the ability to recognize the prophetic meaning behind it. Of course, we're going to use the Holy Spirit as our guide. But also, if you don't have a tattoo, is to help you to understand people who do. And this might even be your own kids. It's very similar to the symbolism in the parables that Jesus taught. There's symbolic meaning in the designs. There's a significance in the placement on the where they put it on the body, whether they know it or not. And also, we use the prophetic gift to open people up to talking more about God. And it's an amazing way to connect with people. Once you get into an encounter, people open up their entire life to you. You know, I'm not an expert in the area of tattoos, but I am an expert in the area of hearing God and training people. So I want to share with you in this online class how I do it, how God, some inside secrets, what God has taught me. And also, I want to show you a video right now. The best way to explain it is to see me in action. It's a short video clip of me doing this out on Venice Beach. Here, take a look. I actually have been hearing God all my life but didn't know it. I knew things. I'd have dreams. And then I went out and started practicing dream interpretation and used the prophetic gifts to reach people that are way outside the church, and I get a word of knowledge for them. You know, just that one thing would flash in my spirit, and I'd speak at it. And usually they say, what are you, a psychic? And I say, oh, no. Then out on Venice Beach here, we start doing tattoo readings one day. Not that we are advocating tattoos, but we notice that everyone is walking by us. A lot of them have tattoos, and they value them. And so we use the same understanding of parables that we use for dreams. When we tell the person why they got the tattoo, the very first one I did on Venice Beach here, the guy went into tears. And he was so moved, he didn't even realize that God was speaking to them. All I can say is that once you do it, you'll get hooked. This is a limited time offer. I'm offering this only on this website, online. You won't be able to get any DVDs or anything like that. I'll be doing a reality TV show soon on it, so I want to
offer
this
sure.
to my friends first before it goes national.
TV show,
here's what
yeah.
you get. You get 7 online videos that you watch at your leisure, at any speed you want to be able to do it, and 7 MP3 audios of those videos so that you can copy those out to your iPod or your computer, listen to them later. There's a student or a study guide that you can print out and follow along, and print out some tattoo reference cards to help train you. All you need to do is go to the bottom of this website, and if you're not on my website, maybe you're watching this video somewhere else, go to propheticevangelism.com. Go to the bottom, sign up. I'm so convinced that you're going to enjoy this class. I want to give you session one for free.
Wow.
I'm excited. Hope to see you in the class.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. No, I could not believe it. But, yeah, this guy is associated with all the other heretics out there and the blasphemers. Yeah, let's practice the occult. Well, we don't need the tarot cards anymore. Let's use tattoos, do tattoo interpretations. He also sees angels, and he has visitations from Jesus, too. He does, too. Yeah, he does, too.
Weeks, it's at the first Wednesday of every month, but the new angel, this angel of proclamation, pulls out a scroll that had a decree, and he said this in a loud voice: "This is the day that lost inheritances and unfulfilled callings are now coming to those who will use them. New boundary lines are being drawn in the land, and God is coming in this new movement that's going to happen. So let heaven and earth hear and respond," is what the angel said. And yeah, without going into all the details about what this is, because I'll do that later, I'm just saying right now there are things that are going on, you know, and behind the scenes in the court of heaven over you and your book of life. That was my prophetic word in January for this year. Your book of life is opening, and the court of inheritance have a lot to do with that. In fact, I received something this week from the court of inheritance. My calling and get, well, basically this, I already have my calling, I already have all that established for me, but a new assignment had come from someone who had laid it down a long time ago, and I picked something up, and I'm going to start seeing that come into being. So I just want to encourage you right now that this is the time God is moving in new ways. Don't be discouraged. Don't look at the storm. This is a time to look to the Lord. I gave some instructions, actually, on my prophetic word for the month, and also it was during my Spirit Connection webcast on how to prepare for this time. Is just take time, no matter how much your warfare is right now, take time, take time to spend time with the Lord. Take time in worship. Take time. I take communion every day. Find some verses that are going to help you, and begin to decree and pray those every day. Whatever you do right now is going to form into the next 2 months, so get ready for this. So, Lord, open that up right now. In Jesus' name, I pray for the decree that was made in heaven that hasn't even made it to earth yet. On earth as it is in heaven, this is fresh from heaven, still in process.
Yeah.
That the boundary lines are moving, and that the assignments that have been laid down are now being reassigned, and there's an adjustment in the court of heaven right now. Pray right now just for the goodness that your purposes will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, check out my latest podcast, episode number 82, and it's on the life of Paul Kane. And I talk about my encounters with him. Just go to DougAddison.com, click on podcast episode 82, it's more, not so much about the death of Paul Kane, it's about the life of Paul Kane that's happening. I talk about how, the Lord is using him in his 1989 prophecies of the stadium. And I'll be releasing another one with my friend Charlie Shamp. We just recorded yesterday about the 1989 stadium prophecies. And that's going to be very powerful. So watch for that as well. And I just released a new blog today. Help you right now over the next few months and how to prepare and give you some prayers and things like that. But today I had an encounter with the Lord in the heavenly realm, and I was taken in a vision form, and I heard this, that the courts of inheritance, first of all, have been meeting all month. I've been seeing this, and the courts of inheritance are where things that are you're called to. Many of us have callings, giftings.
Just beware of anybody that tells you that they're seeing Jesus and they're being caught up into these visions. No, these people have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ except to use his name to have a job. And their job is to deceive people, obviously. And they can't go out and get a real job, so they make up these fantasies about going up into heaven and I have visitations and Jesus whispers in my ear. And then he's going to tell you this kind of garbage. And they're going to attribute it to the Holy Spirit and to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father. And notice, he's taking advice from Paul Kane, or he's listening to Paul Kane's prophecies, and he wants that so-called anointing that Paul Kane had, he's dead now, but he was a homosexual. And he was very popular on the prophetic bandwagon, but he was false. He was a false prophet and a reprobate, really, because he was found out for his homosexuality, and then he didn't stop. He continued on, and then he continued to say that he had been celibate all his adult life, and that was one big fat lie, but he kept saying it even up until a few months before he died. And I've seen the video that he did. I think he was over in London at Kensington Temple, of all places. They had this heretic there. And he was saying that the Lord kept him celibate, and meanwhile he was having homosexual affairs. So when people are liars, if they lie about little things and they keep lying, get ready for a big scandal to erupt, because eventually they're going to be found out and they're going to be disgraced, because you have to have integrity. And it's little things that some people do. They lie about their degrees, or they lie about their backgrounds, and nobody calls them out on it. And then these monsters are created, and you can see these people are monsters, and they have no regard for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no regard for God's people to be able to spew out these horrible teachings and these horrible prophecies to people. But we need to stay close to the Lord more than ever, and pray every day that God would give you a hunger for his word, to stay in his word and to stay close to him so that you're not deceived. These people are smooth talkers, and they promise people the world, and they love to talk about financial breakthroughs and those kind of things, and debt cancellations. So there's always that financial motive that's in the background. But I was truly shocked today when I listened to these audios, and it just grieves me. And I know that it grieves the heart of God. I'm going to play this audio one more time and let it sink in before we close, about Kevin Zadai saying that Jesus had to find himself.
And he said, I had all these key verses that were coaching me into what I was supposed to be doing and who I was. And so Psalm 16, he said, was used when he was in the belly of the earth. And so he started to talk to me. He said, most people think about the suffering that I did before I died on the cross, the beatings, the imprisonments. But he said it went far beyond that. It went far beyond the cross. It went far beyond that, Kevin. He said, I spent those days in the belly of the earth alone without God. And it shocked me at first because I never thought of that. He said, I relinquished my communication with the Father for those days. He said the only thing that I had was those psalms that I had memorized. And he said, I rehearsed those, and I kept telling myself that there was coming that point if I set the Lord always before me, and because he was at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And it talked about how he would be brought out, that he would not allow his body to see decay. His soul would not be left in hell. And he told me, he said, I rehearsed those things. He said, those demons were telling me that I had failed, that I had been left alone, and my mission was a failure. He told me, Satan told me, he said, you should have taken the deal I gave you in the desert where I offered you all the kingdoms of the world. He said, you could have had them if you bowed down to me, but look at you now. You've lost everything. He said, I just kept rehearsing the word of God. And so he explained this to me, and as he was telling me this, he started to sob, and it touched me. He said, I cleared out a space in your own soul, Kevin, when I did this, because when you pray from the depths. So he said, I have made a place in prayer for you because I prayed this space out when I was in hell. He said, when I prayed, he said, I made it possible for anybody in any situation, no matter how hard-pressed they feel, they could access this place in prayer that I prayed from the depths. He said, I prayed and I saw God deliver me. And he said, anyone who prays, they'll feel this depth come in their spirit when they pray a heartfelt prayer. He said, that's the space I cleared in the spirit for them. He said, because I went through more, much more than any person will ever have to go through. He said, I redeemed everyone. He said, no one has to go to hell. He said, anyone that's in hell shouldn't be there because they didn't need to go. I redeemed them from that. And so that was the only time that I saw Jesus get emotional to the place where he cried, because he felt the pain and he was reminded of what he went through for us. Most people don't know this and it's not taught, but he did have to sit down there. He said, I had no way of resurrecting myself because I'd given my authority and all my communication away when I went to the cross. He said, the Holy Spirit was going to resurrect me at the proper time, and I was waiting for that. Isn't that amazing? So just remember that when you pray, Jesus said he already has cleared a way for you out of any situation that you go through. And also he went on to say some things about the timing of where we're at in the end times. He actually said, Kevin, the next thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that people aren't discerning where they are in the scenario. And he talked to me about the...
Yeah. Beware of false prophets. They come to you as sheep in wolf's clothing. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was Jesus? Oh, dear. That's our program for today. And that's John 1:14. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. Well, saints, we've got our work cut out for us, don't we? So we don't know what the future is going to bring for the body of Christ, for the true body of Christ. I see persecution, and it'll come from, most of it will come from these false prophets and these false teachers. But God help us to stay strong in these evil days. But remember, the most important thing today, no matter what anyone else is doing or saying, God is not going to ask you about Doug Addison, and he's not going to ask you about Kevin Zadai, and he's not going to ask you about Sid Roth. He's going to ask you about you and what did you do with your life. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Jesus said in the 3rd chapter of John that ye must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We ask him to forgive us of our sins, and he gives us a brand new life. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And God gives you all things freely. You don't have to pay God for his blessings. You don't have to pay for salvation. You don't have to pay for healing. He will heal your mind, and he will forgive you of your sins, no matter what your sins are. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to promise us eternal life in heaven. Heaven is a real place. When Jesus Christ died, he ascended into heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he said that he's coming again. So no matter what anybody tries to do to us on this earth, no matter what anybody tries to do to this earth to destroy it, Jesus Christ is coming again. And that's a promise. And we have eternal life one way or the other, either in heaven or hell. And it's your choice where you want to go. God bless you today. Thanks everybody in the chat room that stopped by. Shannon and Rick and all my listeners around the world. Don't forget to check out my book about Paula White, Heretic in the White House, and Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Those are available on Amazon. And if you need to email me for any reason, you can email me, Susan.
Blessed be you.